Imagine for a moment that there was a gift registry for retirement. Today, you wouldn't find rocking chairs or gold watches on there, but you might find items like this: great physical health, increased social connectivity, enhanced well-being, improved cognitive function, and a strong sense of purpose and meaning. And no, there's not a gift registry for retirement yet, but it's really not a wish list. These are things that are attainable for many people, and they also happen to be the benefits research has found associated with older adults who volunteer. When you first think of volunteering, you probably think of doing good for others, and that's obviously a key driver. But keep in mind, it's also good for you. But how do you get started? Today, we'll explore that topic with our guest. I'm Joe Casey, and this is the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. And our guest today is Italia Sergei, who leads AmeriCorps Seniors, the federal grant-making office of AmeriCorps that is focused on promoting and engaging people 55 and over in outcomes-oriented service. She has more than 20 years of experience in service, community engagement, and education, working in the public and nonprofit sector to bring private and public organizations together to ensure people of all ages, as well as those living in underserved communities, thrive. She's created a number of programs, including Jumpstart's Only AmeriCorps Seniors Foster Grandparent Program, and she co-founded the Los Angeles Generation to Generation, focusing on engaging older adults in volunteerism to support young children across LA County. She represents AmeriCorps on the federal government's Elder Justice Coordinating Council and Scams Against Older Adults Advisory Group, and she's been recognized as a PBS Next Avenue Influencer in Aging, an Encore Network Champion, and was selected as a Co-Generate Encore Public Voice Fellow, using her time to write about the positive impact older adults can have in educational settings. She earned a bachelor's degree in sociology from the University of Virginia and a master's degree in social work from Virginia Commonwealth University. Thank you so much for making the time to join us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the benefits of volunteering in retirement. What benefits are there that people may not expect?
Well, one of the things that we have done some research on and learned about is the benefits to your health. And I'm not sure that everyone thinks about that. So with our programs, we did a research study where we looked over a three-year period at volunteering. So starting with volunteers who had never volunteered before, and then following them over time. And we saw that those that had volunteered for just 1 or 2 years, 84% of those volunteers reported improved or stable health. 88% reported decreased feelings of isolation. And we know how important that is, given all of the work that our Surgeon General is doing. And 78% reported that they also felt less depressed after volunteering. And I think that getting out, getting moving, staying connected to your community and to others in your community really has a positive impact on just on your health. I think another thing that volunteers may sometimes not expect is that they learn new skills. So we're talking about adults that are volunteering that have lots of lived experience, lots of career experience. But we always hear from volunteers that they learn new skills when they're out volunteering from the training they receive. If they're doing something that's different from what they did in their career, they learn new skill sets. I had a volunteer in a program that I actually oversaw the staff for, the AmeriCorps Seniors Foster Grandparent Program. One of our volunteers, she had been a nurse. We were working with preschoolers and helping them get ready for kindergarten. And she just always talked about always wanting to work with kids, but all that she was learning about their development, about how to help them learn their letters and sounds, and just to build their confidence. So you can learn new skills as well.
So your organization is not small. Tell us a little bit about the scale of AmeriCorps for Seniors and a little bit about the programs that you offer.
Yeah, so AmeriCorps Seniors, just this year, we counted up our numbers and we have about 142,000, 143,000 volunteers volunteering around the country. We are the largest by volunteer number programs in the AmeriCorps agency, which is our nation's agency for national service and volunteerism. All of our volunteers are over the age of 55. We are serving in every state in the nation and three of our territories, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and Guam. And we have three programs, three primary programs, and then a fourth program. But our RSVP program is a program that volunteers can volunteer in their community agency that gets our grant decides what type of service the agents, the community needs. And then those volunteers go out and serve. So they do everything from working alongside law enforcement to help prevent fraud and that type of abuse with older adults. They help with food security by delivering food, preparing it, packing it, making sure that people can access it. They also help with benefits navigation. So with Medicare and Medicaid, they can help with that. They do disaster mitigation and preparation through RSVP. And those are just a few things. There are a lot more things that they do in RSVP. It really is what the community needs, even things like helping with climate change and conservation. Then we have the Foster Grandparent Program. So the Foster Grandparent Program is our intergenerational program, and it was designed specifically to pair older adults with children and youth to help them with their academic skills and to help them build their social emotional skills. So these volunteers not only volunteer in school, but they volunteer in any place that children are. So after school programs, the Boys and Girls Club, summer programs, they just are there to support children as they develop and to help them build the skills that will help them throughout their life. And then we have the Senior Companion Program. And our Senior Companion Program is focused on helping older adults, helping their peers who are living alone, who may have disabilities of some type, helping them to live independently in their home. So helping them age in place, stay in community, stay connected to community. And they also provide a respite service for caregivers. So supporting them to be able to take care of their loved one in their home, but also take care of themselves. So that's what our Senior Companion Program does. And then our fourth program, which doesn't kind of get talked about as much because it's a special opportunity where AmeriCorps seniors can test out new types of service, new models of service, new aspects of service. And it's called the Senior Demonstration Project. And so this year, we actually gave out grants to do two demonstrations. So one is around using national service to help older adults return to the workforce or change their careers. That one is focused on paraprofessional, professional services. And so the grantees under that program are recruiting older adults, having them use service as an opportunity to test out or get training for the career that they want to pursue, and then helping them to move into that. And then the second one is a demonstration where we are partnering with our Native Nations and Indigenous communities to be able to work with them, work alongside them, to develop programming that is in more in alignment with their cultural practices and the unique needs that they might have. So it's an opportunity for us to partner with them, but also for us to learn from them. What are some of the things that really work for them when we're engaging with them around national service? So that's the kind of work we do and where we are. You can find us in almost everywhere in the nation.
It's an impressive range. And I'm wondering if you could share with us a little bit about the impact that you see that it's having in the communities.
So I think when I think about the impact that our programs have, I think about it as dual impact. At least. So one is the volunteers who are volunteering. We talked about some of the benefits that they receive. I guess additional ones that they would receive and how it impacts them is that they stay connected to their community. They stay engaged. They meet new people. They build their networks and their circles while they're serving, in addition to health benefits and also learning new things. And then the way that they are benefiting the community, I think about some of the national priorities that they're focused on. So we have over 142,000 people volunteering in our states and territories, like I said. And we have about 4,500 volunteers, 45 schools that are receiving our volunteers. So they're tutoring and mentoring children. We have about 18,000 volunteers that are in schools from preschool, so early, like infants, all the way up through post-high school. And they're really working on that national priority that the president has talked about, making sure that we help children recover from COVID and just continue to do well in their academics. So they're having that impact on a national priority right now. I think also about the senior companion volunteers that we talked about. We have about 7,000 senior companion volunteers who are supporting around 3,000 caregivers with respite services and 20,000 or more individuals to live independently in their homes. And we know as our society ages, that's going to be a need that just continues to grow. And so they are helping people stay connected, like I said, reducing social isolation and loneliness and mitigating the negative impacts that can have, and just still helping caregivers to be able to keep their loved ones close and in their homes to take care of them. And then I think about our program serves over 130,000 veterans and military families, helping them with their needs in all the different ways. We also have about 3,000 volunteers who are delivering opioid intervention programming. So helping to continue to beat back those issues that people are having when they have addiction to those substances. So I feel like those are some of the impacts that our volunteers are having in communities. And we are just so proud that we can serve in all of those different spaces and have our volunteers bring all of the lived experience that they have, all of the wisdom that they have gained over their lifetime and their skills to these areas. And so that's why I say it's at least a dual impact. From my own experience having a team that ran a foster grandparent program, sometimes those impacts go to places you never expected. So, you know, when we had that program, I definitely expected that they would help the children progress in their academic and social development. But I didn't expect the teachers to feel more supported, to feel more inspired for their own work. And we also received letters from parents saying how nice it was to be able to connect with those older adults in the classroom, learn from them, ask them questions about did they see certain things when they were raising their own children, or for their children to have a grandparent figure. You know, some of our families live very far apart. And so we get letters just saying it's so nice for my daughter or my son to have a grandparent type figure in their life as well. So I think the impact goes sometimes well beyond what we think, but our volunteers are just really so impactful on their communities.
Appreciate all of that. And sometimes hearing a story or two can make it seem real, even more real, and learn more about those impacts. Can you share a story or two of retirees who found fulfillment and perhaps even purpose through volunteering with AmeriCorps Seniors?
Yeah, so I have a couple here, so stop me. So in Philadelphia, we have an AmeriCorps senior companion volunteer. Her name is Deborah, and she talked about how volunteering for her is like giving is living, is what she's saying. So volunteering for her is really brings her purpose in her retirement. And her service in the Senior Companion as a volunteer helps her to also fight loneliness and social isolation. And her client, Masa, expressed that she has been less lonely and more engaged and just so thankful for the service that Deborah has been providing her by, you know, coming over and helping her with the things that she needs and helping her stay connected to community. And one thing about our volunteers is that they are really commit for long periods of time. And so Masa and Deborah have been together for 3 years. So it really, for both of them, has become a friendship and an opportunity to have support from each other. And then we have a RSVP volunteer named Jerry, who is in Decorah, Iowa. And I hope I said that correctly. And for the past 12 years, she has helped restore the Decorah Butterfly Garden. So after a flood introduced some invasive plants into that prairie, she used her knowledge from a degree that she had in landscape architecture to really get connected and help to bring back that landscape, bringing back the butterflies. And we know that they help to pollinate other plants. So she has really done a service along with like the conservation of that land. And she's put in more than 1,100 hours of service in that garden through her RSVP volunteerism. And then I'll tell you a foster grandparent one. So we have a foster grandparent volunteer in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and they call him Grandpa Rick. He shares his time and passion for reading with the kids. And he started a book club where he meets with third and fourth grade students from his assigned classrooms twice a week during recess. So the students get together, they read together, they talk about the story together. And their classroom teacher says that Grandpa Rick's book club has got her students more excited about reading. And that they are always looking forward to it. They want to know what the next book is. They want to know how they're going to get to connect with Grandpa Rick. And when I heard this story, I was like, Grandpa Rick is awesome. I've never met him. Unfortunately, I've never got that honor. But he is awesome if he can get kids to come and read during recess. So he is making a difference there for sure.
Absolutely. I learned to read at a very early age. And often visiting my grandfather, who was a fire chief in our town, I was able to go across the street to the library, our town's library, and still to this day, read as much as I can. It's certainly he's having a big impact, as you described. That'll last for quite some time. That's a great book club. So you mentioned earlier that people bring a lot of skills to the table when they retire. What skills do you see people repurposing from their careers as they volunteer?
So I mentioned earlier about a volunteer, her name was Jerry, and she was using her landscape architecture skills and degree and experience to help restore the garden. So that's one example. We have also accountants who were in finance and they are doing financial coaching. So I got to hear from a volunteer who had been a financial advisor for his whole career. And he said that working with clients who are transitioning out of being unhoused, and he's helping them to build budgets to become financially literate. And he said that that is so rewarding in a very different way than him working with people who had great wealth to be able to plan for their future. So that's one, some examples there. We have nurses who are in our RSVP program who are supporting local community clinics. During COVID, we had doctors from all different types of disciplines who volunteered in a program to get people vaccinated in California. So that was a way we've seen that lawyers who are supporting community organizations and residents with legal issues. So all different kinds of skills. We definitely have had retired teachers participate in the RSVP program. In the foster grandparent program that I oversaw, we even had a retired teacher who helped the staff with their training in order to help them to develop that training and, you know, make sure that we were reaching the adults with the training in the way that we needed to. So we see people using all kinds of skills to continue in their service. And like I said, you learning new ones when they choose to do something different from what they've done in the past.
So what's an example of a very interesting project that a volunteer is engaged in? You have so many things going on. What's a really interesting one that you'd like to highlight?
So one project that we've had, and actually I think a couple of our grantees have done this, where they've had volunteers work alongside the attorney generals in their states, in their offices, to really help combat fraud and scams. And so in those programs, we've had volunteers that have received the reports. They've done some of the initial investigation on those reports so that the attorneys in the office can really focus on moving that forward and not getting so backlogged with those reports. And volunteers have recovered hundreds of thousands of dollars and for people who have, you know, been impacted by scams. So that's a really interesting one that we've had. We've also had volunteers act as record repair counselors. So those volunteers help people who are formerly incarcerated with conviction histories to become educated on how they could challenge some of the barriers that were preventing them from seeking employment, housing, educational opportunities. And then the workforce development programs that I mentioned as well, those grantees are new. They just launched this year, in this fiscal year, but they are supporting people to go into careers in the healthcare field, from healthcare, like community healthcare workers, all the way to like the National Council on Aging actually has a program in West Virginia that's focusing on careers like phlebotomy, because that is a need in their hospitals and the area there. So they're focusing on that. So I think those projects are really exciting for us. We also have a long-standing program, one of our oldest foster grandparent programs in the Navajo Nation, that the elders are not only helping the children with their academic and social development, but they are also teaching them the Navajo language and the cultural practices that they have around their indigenous food practices, to their ceremonial practices, to some of their crafts and skilled work that they do as well. So those are some of the things that I think are really exciting and different that our programs are doing.
It's a great list, and there'll be no shortage of opportunity in the future to work on this scam prevention and recovery, given what's going on with AI, et cetera.
Yes, unfortunately, we will need more volunteers in this area.
Absolutely. And as I listen to him, struck by how much is intergenerational. Any observations on the intergenerational dynamics of a lot of your volunteer programs?
Yeah. So foster grandparent programs, like I said, that was designed to be intergenerational. So it has been since 1965. We've also partnered with CoGenerate on a project where they have supported national service programs to do some more intergenerational programming. So we have a foster grandparent program in Fresno, California, that has partnered foster grandparents with college students from the area. And they together go into schools and are teaching children about kind of managing their emotions, and how to really resolve conflict in a positive way. So that's another program. And we co-funded some research that really shared that young people want to engage and work with older people, and older people want to work and engage with younger people, but it's difficult for them to find the opportunities to do that. So I think national service can be that opportunity. And so we are just working on ways to make that possible.
And what advice would you give people listening who are interested in volunteering, but don't know where to start?
So I would say, think about what is a passion for you, whether it's something that you have been doing or something that you would want to do. Determine how much time you want to devote to volunteerism. Think about maybe the skills you have and how you could share those. And then search your community for what are the organizations that can help you find a place to volunteer. I would definitely say come to our website, AmeriCorps.gov. Go to the AmeriCorps Seniors portion of the website, and there's a pathfinder that will help you look up your state and county and can share with you what is available in your state and county through AmeriCorps Seniors. But if we are not there, most every community has a volunteer center for the community through another nonprofit or through a county office. Search for that and get involved. If you, every school, you can walk up, maybe ask them, do they need help to volunteer? And also a lot of times you can find volunteer opportunities in the community through places of worship, if you have a place of worship as well. What I would say is don't believe that you are not needed. Your skills, your hands, your time, your attention is needed somewhere in your community. It's just a matter of finding where and finding the person who, or finding someone who can connect you to that place.
Thanks so much for making us so much smarter about volunteering. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Always willing to share about AmeriCorps Seniors and help people get connected and get involved.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
It's time for the takeaways segment. And today it's a few questions to think about. Number one, where are you needed? Very often when I'm working with my clients on planning their future after they leave the world of full-time work, after they graduate, if you will, they raise the topic of making a difference, on giving back and doing something for others. It usually follows a reflection where they share that they've really been very fortunate and had a lot of opportunities to others I've given them, and it's time now to give back. So if that resonates with you, the question is, where are you needed? And there are no shortage of problems. Clearly, that's the case in listening to the range of programs that you heard about today. But where are you needed, and where are you needed most? Number two, how can your skills and experience be redirected? What are those things you learned during your career and skills that you've honed and sharpened that others could benefit from? Looking at it from the skills angle could lead you to a very interesting set of possibilities. And finally, it's counterintuitive to mention this, but what can volunteering do for you? Of course, the whole point of volunteering is to help others. But keep in mind, this could really give you a lot of the gifts we talked about at the very beginning of this episode. And those things could greatly impact your retirement life. So think of it as a win-win. And keep in mind that one of the gifts that retirement offers is time. And it's time you've earned. But is there a percentage of that time that you could redirect to helping others? Thanks for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Our goal here is to help you retire smarter by focusing on the non-financial aspects of retirement life. You can browse all of our previous episodes across 7 seasons at our website, retirementwisdom.com. While you're there, check out our best books on retirement. It's a list that includes some things that will surprise you because they're books that aren't specifically about retirement, but they can greatly enhance your life if you apply some of the key concepts and principles.